story this morning, you're going to see two different kings. And we live in during this time period. There's the day and time when the nation of Israel, that used to be one unified nation, has split. There is a tribe, there's a nation that's Judah and the nation of Israel now. They, instead of reigning together under one king, there's two separate kings. And the northern kingdom of Israel, there's many, many wicked kings. Pretty much every single king in the northern kingdom was known for being wicked. And then in the southern kingdom, there's some good kings and some bad kings. Here we have the story of one very, very wicked king. Many of us would know him as Ahab because of his wife. His name is Jezebel. And then you have Jehoshaphat over here. It says that Jehoshaphat came and visited Ahab. You would think that normally, what would Jehoshaphat even be there with Ahab? They're two completely different people. One who loves God, one who does what's right, and one who cares about the things of God. Obviously, he was not perfect, but he's someone who actually was known for being a good king. And you have Ahab over here, who's known for being one of the most wicked kings of all time. Why would Jehoshaphat come to visit Ahab? If you go and you look and do a little bit of research, you find out later on that Jehoshaphat's son had actually later on married the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And it's important to be careful on who you marry. I know we don't have a lot of young people today, but I tell you, it is so important that you marry the right person. You see, the wickedness prevails in the life of Jehoshaphat's son because of the wickedness of the wife that he married. And a Christian should not even be dating someone who's unsaved. Yeah. The wickedness, the evil influence almost always wins out. If God wants you to marry an individual, God can work through that person's life. You can see that person saved. And I think it's so important that the day and time that you live in, that you marry the right individual. You wait for that right person. A wise man that has once told me, he says, it's better to wish that you were married than to wish that you, it's better to wish that you were married than to be married and wish you weren't.
That's right.
That's truth. And that's found out there. Wait for the right person. It is such an important thing. And now, don't get me wrong. You say, well, I don't know if I'm married to the right person. If you're married to him, you're married to the right person. And God can work in your heart, and God can work in your life, and God can work in their lives to be faithful to their. 1 Kings chapter 22, you have the story here that I'm not sure exactly, and once again, some of you Bible scholars might be able to figure out a little bit quicker and better than me, when they actually got married. Don't know why Jehoshaphat is here visiting with him, but you'll see some different things that are interesting. Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from God about a certain topic. Ahab didn't. Jehoshaphat said, can we inquire of the Lord? Ahab instead inquired of a bunch of guys that were going to say what he wanted to hear. Jehoshaphat even sees through the ploy, sees through the charade, and says, is there not a prophet of the Lord? And Ahab says, oh yeah, there is one that tells me what God wants me to hear, but he says, I hate him. And you say, what does this have to do? I want you to understand today that the truth of the scripture is truth, no matter what anybody else says. You're going to see Ahab here in the story has 400 different people, and they call themselves prophets. And they keep on saying, God says you can do this, and the Lord says you, and they use God's name, they throw it around right and left. And you know what the reality is? That is not what God intended. The one man that was Micaiah this day and time was boldly proclaiming what God's truth was. And even though he was in the minority, he was the one that was right. And in the day and time that we live in, with all the different people and all the different attractions and all the different shiny lights at churches today, we need to really seek out what God's will is for our life. We need to know that and understand what his will is and then do it. So let's look at this story. And there's a lot of great things. I think I'm going to tell the story as we read through the verses. And at the end, we're going to look at what does God think about it. The first thing he says in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse number 1, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. So at this point in time, Ahab had done a mistake and had let someone go, one of the leaders of Syria, and he's whining about it now because he doesn't have the land that he really deserves to have. But there hasn't been war. There's been a peace. And it came to pass in the third year, so after 3 years of the peace, that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, who's known for being a good king, who loved the Lord, wasn't perfect, didn't get rid of the idols per se or the high places, but he did a lot of good things, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he was correct. Ahab's not always right, but Ramoth-Gilead really did deserve was the children of Israel's. And they said, we're sitting here, and they have something that belongs to us. But there's something that he understood. He was not going to be able to defeat the Syria by themselves. Verse number 4, and he said unto Jehoshaphat, once again, he's sitting there, will thou go with me to battle for Ramoth-Gilead? So he looks at Jehoshaphat, this good king, supposedly this wise king. He says, hey, do you want to go with us to fight our neutral enemy or enemy, to get combined enemy Syria? And look at his response. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people are as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And to me, that's a red flag there. It's a person who loves God, a person who wants to obey God, a person who wants to do what's right. And then you got over here King Ahab, who was almost his entire life. At the end of chapter 21, he is a little bit sorrowful. He is a little repentive. But besides that, his entire life, he's done wickedness. He's done evil over and over and over. And Jehoshaphat looks at him and says, you know what? We're from the same family. We're just alike. Even though you're from the same family, doesn't mean that you're alike. And we're going to look at that and help us understand that even though we're from the same family, even though we may look alike, does not mean that we're the same. Let's keep on going. And he says, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So there's one thing that Jehoshaphat wants to make sure of. He says, let's check with God first. And that shows some wisdom. He said, let's find out what the will of God is concerning this battle and concerning this fight. Before we go risk our lives, before we make any type of big decision, let's know what God wants. Look how he responds. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. He said, well, prophets, that's a good thing. He said, they're going to be, but it doesn't say prophets of the Lord for a reason. He says, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? So we see here that Ahab puts on this big show. He gets out 400 guys that he pays, that he feeds, and that say exactly what he wants to hear. That's not what we need today. We don't need to go to people who is just going to tell us what we need to hear. We need to go places where we're going to hear the word of God. We need to go to counsel from godly people that aren't going to tell us what we need to, what we want to hear. They're going to tell us what we need to hear. And Jehoshaphat sees through the charade. He sees the 400 people all together saying, yes, you can go up. The Lord says you can. He's going to deliver in the hand. Jehoshaphat's like, is there not one that we can go inquire the Lord? Look what he says. He says, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? He knew that the 400 people weren't prophets of God because they were telling Ahab exactly what he wanted to hear. But look at Ahab's response. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. You know what he should have done? Jehoshaphat said, he says, see ya. If you don't want to hear from God, and if you hate God's man, I don't have any part of this battle. This should have been a huge red flag. And we'll get back to that in a little while. He says, I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat let not the king say so. Jehoshaphat's still sitting there. And maybe it is because their son and daughter have already been married, or because they're in that engagement period or whatever. But he's there and he's listening. He says, oh, no, don't talk like that. We don't have to pacify sinners and say, hey, don't say things like that and just still go along with them. Truth is truth. And he says, king, if you feel that way, I don't want to have any part of this battle. If you don't want to hear from God, then I don't want to have anything to do with this. And I'm going to leave. Doesn't mean you have to be ugly. Doesn't mean you have to be rude. It just means I want to hear from God. And if you say you hate the man of God and he always prophesies evil against you and you know he's a man of God, that means I don't want to have anything to do with what your plans are. Look how the response goes. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes. So they go, they get all dressed up. And in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. So you got 400 guys. So picture the theme here. They're there. They're on their thrones. They get all dressed up in their kingly garments. And you got 400 guys down here that are running around saying, hey, you should go. You should go. Verse 10, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his thrones. Verse number 11, and Zedekiah, the son of Shananah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord. Once again, using God, saying, this is what God's saying. With thee shalt thou push the Syrians. And you see this guy just taking his horns of iron and pushing him forward. Shall thou push the Syrians until they have consumed them? And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper. For the Lord, once again, using God, shall deliver it unto the king's hand. They haven't heard from God probably ever in their life. They're false prophets. They don't know God. They don't believe in God. They don't trust in God. But they keep on throwing God's name around. And the messenger that was gone to Micaiah, call Micaiah. So they send the messenger. Listen to what the messenger says. Spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of them, and speak that which is good. So he says, look, everything's going great. There's these 400 guys that are saying he should go up and he should go fight against this battle and that they're going to win. All you got to do is go in and say the same thing. And guess what? The king's going to like you, because that's really what matters in the world, that the king likes you. Look at the response of Micaiah. Micaiah said, in verse number 14, Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. That should be our desire, is what God says. That's what we want to tell. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. Now, once again, Micaiah is entering into this circus that's there. 400 different prophets are all there saying one mouth, saying, the Lord says go, the Lord says go. And it probably turns Micaiah's stomach. And there's some random guy running around with horns just pushing and saying, hey, you're going to win the battle with this. You're going to win the battle with this. And you got these thrones up here, these guys sitting up there in their kingly thrones. And Micaiah walks in and says, you're going to listen to all these guys. Go ahead. Go. The Lord's going to do it. He's being sarcastic here. He's saying to him, he's seeing all the mocking. He's seeing that you don't care about what God has to say. You're listening to all these other guys. Why am I even here? And that's when he says, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand of the king. Now look what it says in verse 16. It's kind of interesting. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Look at the hypocrisy there. He's okay with these other 400 jokers running around, pushing horns around, and gets. But he says, look, I only want you to tell me what God says. So don't you dare lie to me. He's okay with everybody else lying, but he wants to hear the truth. And look what the response is. And he said, I saw Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. He's saying, you're not coming back, Ahab. If you go, you're going to die, and everybody's going to be scattered abroad, and they're going to tell you, hey, you might as well go back to Israel in peace, because you're not going to win Ramoth Gilead. And look what Ahab says. Does Ahab thank him for telling the truth? No. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? So he looks over at the good king and says, see, I told you he was going to tell me something that was bad, but it was truth. I mean, that's the amazing thing. The wicked king knew it was true. I don't see how Jehoshaphat doesn't see. Jehoshaphat asked to hear from this guy. He wanted to hear the truth, but guess what happens? They still go off in battle. Look what it says in the next verse, what happens to Micaiah. And he said in verse number 19, he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. Okay, let's drop down there. Then Micaiah talks about a parable. And as the parable, we're not going to go through the parable there, but go down to verse number 24. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord? He, from me to speak unto thee. And if you read the parable, it's an interesting parable. I think it's sarcastic because God's not asking people for their opinions. But at the end, in verse number 23, he turns around and says that there is a lying tongue amongst all the prophets. And in verse 25, Micaiah said, "Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into the inner chamber to hide thyself." So Zedekiah is upset. He smites Micaiah because he's saying, look, all these prophets, all this circus is nothing but a bunch of liars. And Zedekiah says, really? And so there's a challenge here. So Micaiah does that. In verse 26, and the king of Israel said, take Micaiah, because he didn't like what Micaiah said, and carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow into prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So as he's being taken to prison, probably put in chains maybe, headed back, he says, hey, look, if Ahab comes back in peace, if he comes back at all, you know God hasn't spoken to me. But hearken to what I'm saying. You're going to see Ahab not return. And you're going to know that it's God that has spoken, not this circus that's happening. So here's some things I want you to think about. I don't know if it really is main points or just sub points or just a bunch of different talking points or preaching points here. But the first thing I want you to think about is go back to the beginning of the chapter when Jehoshaphat says this at the end of verse number 4. He says, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. If we're really interested in hearing what God has to say about something, we got to remember something. Just because your family does not mean that you are the same. Just because you look like someone else does not mean that you're the same. You say, Pastor, that seems a little harsh, but the reality is Jehoshaphat was someone who wanted to serve God. Ahab wasn't. There is a complete difference from a person who wants to hear from God and a person who does not want to hear from God. There is a complete difference from someone who is seeking the will of God, searching for the will of God, wanting to understand what God is doing and what God wants for us to do, versus someone who only wants to hear what somebody else has to say or only wants to hear somebody who's going to agree with them. And I believe in 2022, it would do us good to say, I want to know and I want to understand what the will of God is for my life, and that's what I want to do. Jehoshaphat lowered himself to come. And when he offered he was offered something by Ahab, hey, let's go to battle. And of course, if they had gone to battle and they had won the battle, they would have taken part of the spoils of it. It would have been something that would have been productive for them. But he's joking up with someone who doesn't care about God. And he says, look, I'm just like you are. You're not. If you're a believer and you're a sold out believer for God, you're not just like someone who's unsaved. And this might seem harsh, it might seem rude, because I know I have family members that don't believe like I do or that might not even be Christians. And sometimes they try to influence me, and I'm okay with talking to family. Family, someone we love. Family, someone we listen to. Family, someone we talk with. Someone who hopefully we reach. Hopefully when we want to make a difference. But if you're a child of God and you want to serve God and you want to know what God has to say, you're not going to think like someone who's unsaved. It's impossible. The scriptures even says, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So when we go looking to an unsaved family member for advice about, hey, should I go to church? Hey, should I serve? Hey, should I give? They're not going to spiritually discern these things. You say, Pastor, you're talking to me. I don't really like it because my kids are unsaved. Or my parents are unsaved, or my cousin, or this person, and I really love them. They mean so much, and I'm glad you love them, and I'm glad they mean so much to you. But we need to truly understand what God's will is, not what their will is. We're not living to serve them, we're living to serve Him. And I know that in the day and time we live in, there's people out there that want to try to motivate us, people who want to try to tell us what we should do and try to convince us of certain things and to persuade us of certain things. And that's always going to happen. You're always going to have people saying that, say, preacher, isn't that what you're trying to do? Yes, but I'm trying to do it with God's word, not with my opinions. And you're going to have a challenge. It's there. And you're going to sit there and you're going to say, well, they're just like me. They're my kin, or they're the people I work with. They're Americans. They maybe even go to the same church, or they're in the same fellowship, or they're in this or in that. But if they're not what God, they're not seeking what God wants. They're not somebody that we should seek what they want for our lives either. We must understand and know what the will of God is. It's a challenge because he's sitting here and he makes a mistake and he says, the first mistake he probably made was going to Ahab. Second mistake was, oh yeah, sure, I'll go help you. We're the same. And sometimes we face battles, and I know it's hard because we have so many unsaved family members. And we want to be a light, and we want to win them to Christ. And we want to say, hey, we're just like each other. But how are we going to win them to Christ when we're willing to live like them? It's not going to happen. If they don't see Christ in us, if they don't see the, if we're not living according to the will of God, how is God going to use us to reach them? We beg for them, we plead with them, we pray for them, we want them to go to church, and we want them to do these different things, we want them to believe, we want them to have what we have, and then we turn around and say, well, they're just like us. Now, if you have the Spirit of God living inside you, they cannot spiritually discern unless they have the Spirit of God living in them. Well, they're respectful of me, and they do this, and they do that. Okay, that's fine, but don't ask their will, seek God's will for your life. Now, I understand kids sometimes as your parents get older and you're going to have to, I understand those decisions. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going to someone who does not understand or know the will of God and asking them for advice is a bad idea. You say, well, but they're my kids. They're my this, they're my that. They've been my best friend my whole life. There is plenty of people who will throw around the name of God, as we've seen here in the story, over and over. You look in verse number 6, the prophets say, for the Lord shall deliver you. Verse number 11, thus saith the Lord. Verse number 12, the Lord shall deliver. They talk a good game, but the reality is they were wrong because they weren't seeking God's will. So this year the challenge is, do I really want to hear what God has to say? Or do I want to be accepted by someone who doesn't even know God? Because that's what Jehoshaphat's saying. If Jehoshaphat's, and I know we think in our modern day, the dating, the courting, if they're there and they like each other, one in-law is trying to be nice to the other in-law, or one king's trying to be nice to the other king, and they're trying to fit in. And what does Jehoshaphat have to give up in order to fit in? He has to listen to this man over here who does not care about God, who does not has 400 guys saying, hey, what you're doing is right, what you're doing. He has to say, we're the same. Then he has to listen to this man over here who does not know God to mock the prophet of God, to mock the man of God, to mock the person who is saying what God wants to be said. Then he has to give up all the different things that he says, I hate him. And then he goes and he gives up getting what he wants, hearing from God. And what does Jehoshaphat do? He still goes out in battle. It's because he's willing to say, hey, we're just like, I'm willing to compromise. I'm willing to give here. Sure, I'll go to battle for you. But can we hear from God first? And then he heard from God. And guess what he still does? He still compromises. And he still goes and does the same thing and puts himself in danger. If you read the rest of the chapter, we don't have time. Ahab disguises himself. He sets Jehoshaphat out there to die. He sets Jehoshaphat out there in his kingly garments and the kingly chariot. He goes and disguises himself, and he makes it sound like it's some type of battle plan. No, he just wants to see whether or not they're going to win. He doesn't want to put himself in danger. But God says, it talked about how some guy randomly just takes an arrow and shoots it up in the air, and somehow it kills Ahab. It's amazing what God can do. But see the compromise of Jehoshaphat. A good king says, we're just like they are. And he has to give up listening to the man of God. He has to give up even hearing from God. And he doesn't even obey what God says. You see what the challenge is here today? We live in a culture that everybody's trying to grab our ears. We live in a culture where everybody's trying to say, this is acceptable and this is right. And let's put God's name on over here. And let's put the Lord's name on it over here. And let's just put it all together and say, we're all just like everybody else is, but we're not. We are not. We believe in a one true God that teaches one truth. I remember Oprah Winfrey years ago turned around and she was in that show and she was somebody everybody thought was a Christian and did a lot of good things. And she says, it can't be that there's only one way to heaven. There's got to be more than one way. It's got to be. And she insisted that Jesus Christ was not the only way to heaven. And it was like, of course, there's so many other paths to God. What about this person? What about this person? What are we looking for today? Are we looking for the Oprah Winfrey's of the world? Are we looking for what the talk show host has to say? Are we interested in what God's word has to say? Are we interested in the fact that God says this about this particular subject, and do we want to listen to it? And the challenge is, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We want to just sit there and say, you know what, they're not that bad of a person. They really are a good person. They do all these wonderful things. You couldn't say that about Ahab. And that's why it's important who your friendships are. That's why it's important and who you marry. That's why it's so important and key in our lives. What is the will of God? Am I searching for the will of God? Do I want this will of God? And then the next thing, the hard thing is, just because you're in the hard thing is, what if Ahab was a believer? Obviously he wasn't. He didn't believe in God, didn't trust in God. He only see a little bit of remorse there for the fact that he was prophesied that he was going to be lose his kingdom or whatever, or killed because of what he did in Ahab. Sometimes there's believers out there that aren't seeking the will of God. Sometimes there's a believer sitting over here like Jehoshaphat who's not where he's supposed to be, not listening to the right person. He knows it's best to listen to God before he ever goes to battle. But he's just going through the motions, but he wants to influence others. And that's what we got to understand and look at and say, let's try the spirits. Let's really consider what the Bible says and not just go off a popular opinion. Just because you're in the minority does not mean that you're wrong. Just because you're in the minority does not mean that you're wrong. You look time and time again in the Bible. You think about the two spies against the whole nation of Israel saying, let's go up, let's take it. Joshua and Caleb, hey, let's go, let's fight. They were in the minority, but who was right? They were. And many times the minority ones are the ones that are actually going to be the ones that are right, not the other ones. And we start and we look down the Bible and we understand what God's word says when it comes to so many hot button topics, and we don't want to hear it because we want to be like everybody else and we just want to fit in. We want to look like Jehoshaphat and say, you know what, why can't we just all get along? Which I'm good with getting along with those that are seeking the will of God. I'm good with saying, hey, if you're in for knowing and understanding the will of God, let's join together. Let's work together. If you want to reach the world for Jesus Christ, then praise the Lord. Let's do this. But so often, and I think the challenge that we live in today with all the different topics, with all the different things that are being hit at us, all the different things being thrown at us, there's so many things being swept under the rug because there's so many big issues out there that we're not really seeking what the will of God is. We're seeking what's just going to keep things right and simple and comfortable. But where in the Bible does it say that we should be comfortable? Where does it say that the Christian life is going to be easy? It doesn't. And I feel what Jehoshaphat did. I want to get along with people. But how much is Jehoshaphat helping Ahab here? If Jehoshaphat would have said, hey, Ahab, you know that's the man of God. You know that you said he was going to what he was going to say. You should listen to the man of God. We shouldn't go out to this battle. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not going to help you in your sin. I'm not going to sit there and continue to help you. You know what happens to Ahab? Exactly what the man of God said. He died. Jehoshaphat had an opportunity to say, hey, you shouldn't hate the man of God. You don't care anything about the will of God. You know what? I'm not going to be ugly. I'm not going to be mean. But at the same time, I can't be a part of this sin that you're doing. You go and do it, but I'm going to pray for you that you get your heart right and you get things changed. That would have been the right type of testimony. That would have been the right thing to say. That would have been what could have helped reach possibly Ahab. That didn't happen, though. And we have a world full of people sitting over here that has lots of ideas. He's like, hey, Ramoth-Gilead is ours. Why don't we go and take it? There's a world full of people out there giving us idea after idea after idea. This makes sense. This is good for today and time. What's wrong with this? Why can't we do this? And why can't we do that? And what we need to look, what does God say? Does God think about it? What does God think about this? When you got churches today discussing if homosexuality is right or wrong, what does God think about it? When you got churches today that think about abortion, what's right or wrong, what does God think about it? When you got churches today that says there should be woman preachers out there, what does God say about it? I mean, I know it makes sense. I know this happens. I know, but what is God's will? And so my encouragement to you today is look past all those other people that are trying to get your attention and look up to the one that's sitting on the throne, the one whose will is revealed in his word, the one who needs and the one who can change, the one that this world needs and the change that can happen, and make a commitment that in 2022, I want to hear what God's will is. I want to know it. I want to even understand the heart of God. The closer you get to him, the more you're going to understand him. And I want to do the will of God. I think about Peter and Paul. They had this agreement. You go back to the book of Galatians, it talked about how Peter was eating with the Gentiles. And then as the story goes along, that Peter was come to Antioch, and Paul says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before a certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So the story is told that Peter's there and he's having a good time with the Gentiles and they're eating together, doing all these things. And then somebody from Jerusalem comes, someone who has a false idea of what circumcision and need for salvation come. And when they come, Peter and some of the other ones get up and stop associating and stop eating with the Gentiles to pacify someone that they care about and someone they want to be like and get along with. And they completely ignore the feelings of Gentiles. And Paul says, I stood up to them. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that even sometimes the person sitting in this chair may be a Christian, may be a believer, maybe someone who is a Peter, and that has gotten something wrong. And we need to understand, let's see what God says. Let's see what his word says. Because Paul had to correct Peter. And Peter, hey, Peter, you not only did you do this and you made this mistake, but you influenced those other ones. They even Barnabas, that great Bible character, went over and sat with them instead and made them feel like they were doing something wrong when they weren't doing anything wrong. That's why we got to look past what just people say and say, what does the Bible say? What is truth? Even from those that might be our friends. Even from those that maybe we have looked up to in the past, because none of us are perfect. So I want to challenge you today. Make a commitment this year, if God's spoken to your heart, to in 2022, I want to know what God's will is for my life. I want to understand it. And I want to do it. And sometimes they're going to be hard things to look at and say, when you compare your life up to what the Bible says, sometimes it's found lacking. When I look in the Word of God, it's as a mirror, and it shows me my blemishes all the time. The world might look at me and say, you're doing great. You're this and you're that, and that's great. Look at you. I'm looking in the mirror and saying, I know what God wants for me, and I know I need to do better. But then you've got a world full of people, and I'm not calling your family Ahab, obviously. I'm not calling your friends a bunch of Ahabs. I'm not even calling them a bunch of Peters. I'm just saying there's people out there in the world that do not have an interest in knowing what God says about certain topics. They would instead rather choose to believe what they want to believe instead of seeking out what the will of God is. And instead of doing what we just assume is right and what is the norm and what is what we should be doing, let's seek out what God says. And then let's obey it. Not what Pastor Peace says, because Pastor Peace has been wrong before. Not what my family says, because they've been wrong before. Seeking out godly examples in the Word of God, saying, I want to do the will of God. Make that commitment. I want to do God's will. If you're here today and don't know Christ as your Savior, oh boy, there are so many different ways and opinions that what they'll tell you. The Mormons will tell you one way. The Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you one way. The Catholics will tell you one way. The Muslims will tell you one way. There's a lot of people out there that throw out the name Lord and God, and they'll say, this is the way. But Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't care what Oprah says. I don't care what Maury Povich says. I don't care what the preacher across the street says. If it's not agreeing with the Bible, it's wrong. So if you never come to God through Christ, come to them this morning. And I love fellowships, and I love friendships. And I know we got a lot of good churches in their area, and I'm thankful for all of them. But if we started saying something wrong, I would tell them, hey, you shouldn't be putting up with that. And if they say something against the will of God, you know what? We shouldn't be putting up with that. It's truth. What is truth? And that's what we need to find out. I want to know what God's will is, and then I want to do it. It's more than just knowing. It's having the understanding, this is what God desires for my life. And so this year, however the Lord leads, we want to make sure that even if we're in the minority, even if it means that we make someone upset that looks like us, might even be part of our family, might even be part of our church family, and say, I want to do the will of God. And let's not get mad at people that don't. A little tell sign there. If there's somebody out there that says, I hate that preacher because he preaches what's right, there's a red flag right there. You shouldn't be taking advice from them. You say, well, who's... There's probably people inside your families that might say something about preachers that says, oh, that Bible's old, it's outdated, doesn't apply to today. They're misinterpreting the scriptures. They're this, they're that. I'm telling you, they might look like you, but they're not like you because they don't know God and they spiritually can't discern it. And you're not going to help them get it by just agreeing with them and going along with them. And the Bible doesn't say be rude and ugly. Sometimes we need to take stands and sometimes they're harsh. But the Bible does say that we can reach the lost or reach those that have gone wrong when we're seeking to know and understand the will of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that it be our desire as a church family not to try to run people away, not to try to be ugly and rude, but Lord, to seek out your will, whatever it is. Maybe for a young person about what college they should go to or what it looks like for dating, what it looks like for marriage, what it looks like for friendships and music and just hot button topics, modesty, you know, things that sometimes young people struggle with. And Lord, maybe it's an older person trying to decide what the next step is and what you have planned for them. Maybe it's somebody who has kids and they're, going crazy because their kids are driving them wild and crazy. And Lord, that we would say, I want to know what your will is. I want to know it, I want to understand it, and I want to do it. I'm good with the multitude of counselors that are godly people, but God, I'm done with those who say, I hate that truth. I don't want to hear that truth. They don't ever say anything nice about me. Truth is truth. Help us to seek the will of God this year. Help us not seek the will of the pastor or the will of the assistant pastor or the will of the deacons or the will of the teachers or the will of my husband or the will of my wife. Those are all good things, the will of my family, if they're people who are following after you. But Lord, help us to seek you first and foremost, the will of God. God, speak to our hearts. Burden our hearts. Give us a desire to want to know you and to understand what your will is. In Jesus' name.